And now we're going to look at chapter 17 of John's Gospel, the 20 to 26, the verses. This goes as an alternate choice. If you are going to take the readings from the replaced Sunday, the next Sunday will be replaced in some dioceses by the Ascension. And so the church gives us these readings so that you have your choice. You can take the ones assigned for the day, or you can take these readings, which are from the next Sunday, and put them in here, and then use the Ascension, the Gospels, for the Ascension. All right. This is chapter 17. This is Jesus's prayer. What is this prayer? It's something John heard, I'm sure, when they were all together. But it's something that he also heard in his heart, in his spirit, listening to Jesus pray in heaven, where he's always living to make intercession for us, to be in on that movement of his soul, his spirit, to the Father. What preoccupies Jesus when he's praying? That's what this text opens up for us, so that we can be enter into this. We can make it our own. We can pray this prayer. We don't stand there and watch Jesus pray. We enter into it with him. And so that's the way this text goes. And so I got to find my spot. Okay. The English, lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, you see, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's one sentence. What's the most convincing way we preach the gospel in a unified church? So, when Satan wants to destroy the preaching of the gospel, what does he introduce? Division. And we're still suffering. There was the one back in 1096. There was the whole mess of them there in the 16th century. And they're still going on. Everybody with a bright idea wants to start a new church where I can be the pope. They don't like popes, but they like to be pope. So we got to do something about this. This is a disgrace, and it's the reason why the world is where it is. If the church were one, what light, what healing, what peace, what encouragement it could give to the whole world, Christian or not. But instead, we're so busy fighting with each other, not liking each other. It's getting better, though, thank God, that we're neglecting the world who don't even know him and are at a loss as to what the meaning of their life is. So, as this text has it now, you see, Holy Father, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's very powerful. It means that some people will believe and be saved through our words. That's very important. How many people have a thirst to evangelize? Standing in the grocery line, sitting on the plane, talking to your Uncle Harry, you know? You don't have to rattle your rosary beads. You just have to show them the kindness of Christ and see if they're not open to hear a little bit more about him. You see? So that's what it's saying here. Not only for them do I see, but those who will believe in me through their word. That's an apostle, but not only an apostle. Is everybody shares in that apostolic duty to preach the word. They might be offended. Ask for wisdom. Ask Our Lady how she did it. You know? You don't have to just, you know, sit on the plane, get out your rosary beads and shake them in the guy's face next to you and say, repent. I mean, that's not going to do it. But you could have a friendly conversation and see where it goes and show them the face of Christ. Okay. I know it's easier when you have a collar on. They expect you to be talking about God and, you know. But anybody can do it. Those who will believe in me through their word. Why? Because then they'll all be one. Those who preached and those to whom there was preaching. Here we are, you know, on this Sunday after Easter, you know, a month or so after Easter, when all those people got baptized. So where are they now? And are people still helping them? Most of the time, yes, thanks be to God, you see. So that they're one. You see, it's our faith as it's animated by the Holy Spirit who makes us one. You see? Then we come to a very mysterious place. And I have given them the glory you gave me. Now, what glory could the Father give the Son that the Son could give away? You're talking about a divine, infinite, eternal transaction between the Father and the Son, who always related this way. There was never a split second when they didn't, you see? That the Son from eternity receives glory from the Father. And now he wants to give that away to us. The doxa, the kavod, the glory. What is that glory? You see? It's that love. It's that beautiful love, you see? I gave them the glory you gave me, because now they have that love. Oh, do we? Do we? Do we have it even in the same family, in the same parish? Are we trying with the Christians and non-Christians around us? You know, we have a really good example in the Pope. Pope Francis is a man who wants to love everybody. And he's breaking down more barriers, even though he's reforming the church, because of love. And that kind of love, you have to ask for. It's not your own scintillating personality, or that you're basically a nice guy. It's the love, you see, the glory that you gave me, I gave them. So that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. They may be one as we are one, and we are infinitely one. Oh, set aside our little problems and, you see, that they may be brought to perfection as one, because then the world will know that you sent me and that you loved them even as you loved me. That happens, doesn't it? A good person walks into a group or a community of Christians who are just loving each other, relating, maybe having a meal. And the beauty of this is so captivating. How many people have become Christians as they watched Christians do this? It's a long story, we're going to tell it quickly. I was living in Jerusalem, and this couple were going to get married. They've been living together without the benefit of a priest. They may be legally married, French Canadians, and they came over to India and then Jerusalem. And they decided they wanted a Hindu wise man told them they should become Christians. And so they came to Jerusalem looking for me. I said, it's going to take you 3 months to learn your Christianity. You haven't practiced. You haven't thought about it. Now you're in your 20s, 25, 26. You don't know anything. I can't. You know, it would be a joke. It would be another ceremony. But they're French speaking, all of these people. So I gave them to the care of the Emmanuel community to care for. And they cared for them. Oh, my goodness. And they were ready. So on Easter afternoon, as the sun was going down over Jerusalem and bathing, as you have to see it to believe it, bathing that Malki stone in this golden light, we were on the side of the Mount of Olives at the little chapel of the where the Lord wept, Dominus Flavit, and out this big window. The window must be 6 or 8 feet wide and 4 or 5 feet high, and the celebrant looks right out over that to the whole city, and they're in back of me. They've got married. Then we had a party, and this woman came, Aliyah. She was sort of a non-believing, non-practicing, interested Jew. Interested in Judaism, which is a good thing. So she's at this party. There they are. You know, they're dressed in beautiful clothes, lent by the people in the community. And there's this nice party, you know, with wine and cheese and whatever. And so she leans over to me and she says, "Who's paying for this?" I said, "Well, the community's paying for this. They really do love each other, don't they?" I said, "Yeah. You see the witness? The witness. Okay. The world may know then that you sent me. Because only I could produce that in human beings. So now they know that I've come, you see? And that you loved them even as you loved me." Did you ever get that straight? The Father loves you even as he loves the Son. That's awesome. You see? "Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know you sent me." This, he's talking about us. Do we know that he sent us? You see? "I have made known to them your name." And what is that name? Abba. Father. You look up at God, and you've committed all these sins, and you're scared to death. And what do you see? A Father who forgives, who sent his Son to die so that you could be forgiven. That's what you see. Wouldn't that mend your heart? Wouldn't that help you forgive everybody else? You see? "I've made known your name, and I will make it known, and the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." And that's the perfection. Jesus is in us. He lives in us. He loves in us. And if we will yield to that and forgive each other and care for each other, the whole world will see that the Father sent the Son. We have to preach. We have to do social work. We have to do lots of things. But the primary preaching of the gospel is that we be a community of love. Amen.